Yeah, sure.
And the others, I mean, you guys just move. Just so tonight will be a little quiet because it's the first class, so devotees tend to skip the first one. Next week we'll probably start having more coming again. So yeah, men can have one side, women can have the other side.
Okay, so this year we'll be studying the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can sit on this side. If you want to come to the front, you can also. If you want to sit. So this is your course material, canto 8.
Yeah, I only say the course handbook would be good if you're coming regularly. If you're coming regularly, you can have the handbook.
If you're only coming and then you're not coming out for some time, then don't take it.
Because there'll be more students next week. Do you want me?
Trusting you.
So if we open the course book and we go to the first page, and we'll read the first page together. There's a picture of Srila Prabhupada. At the bottom it says, it's a picture of Prabhupada. At the bottom it says number 3, page 3. But the numbers in this book are not in sequence. You'll notice as you go through, I think it starts page 32 or something. So don't worry about the page numbers, but roughly. Sugar April, would you like to read the quotes on that page?
This one,
yeah.
If you study Srimad Bhagavatam perfectly, then all education is complete. You didn't require any other books to read. You get from Srimad Bhagavatam all material and spiritual knowledge. And at the end, Krishna, that is the prophet. So Prabhupada in Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, June 3, 22, Los Angeles, June 1972.
Very good. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada is telling us that we don't need any other book except Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said four books are the pillars of ISKCON. We have the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion. So these four books are enough. Prabhupada said these are the pillars of ISKCON. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is the life work of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada has said that by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam we will gain everything. Even I believe there's a quote by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he says that if all the other books on the earth disappeared except for Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, what would be the loss? If there were no other books like that. You can survive simply on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So it is being said that we must study the Srimad Bhagavatam seriously, systematically, categorically, with rapt attention. It is our main literature. So we should learn it. Prabhupada said we should know the books like the lawyers know the law books or the Christians know the Bible. It's So we should know the Bhagavad Gita very deeply, very perfectly. It becomes very powerful in our preaching. Any points? You want a book?
Okay, so we turn the page. Let me close that door. So, there's another group dancing on it. Just sort of. Okay. So, we'll read the student materials. What we will need for this course?
During the course, you will require the following: Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, and Student's Handbook. How to use this Student's Handbook? This is your handbook for the Bhaktivedanta course. At the beginning of each unit, you will find the scheduled reading assignments for that unit. These assignments must be completed before each lesson. Purva Swadhyaya, preliminary self-study, and Adhyaya Tathasara, chapter overview, will be referred to during the lessons. The Prasna Pravajanam, educational goals or learning objectives for each unit are what we are aiming to achieve by the end of each unit. Optional materials. You may find the following additional study guides helpful: Srimad Bhagavatam at a Glance by Narayan Devi Dasi and Srimad Bhagavatam by Purna Pragna Das.
Okay. So, obviously, during the course, you will need the Bhagavad Gita itself. This year, we are covering 8th canto, canto 8. Now, the next year, the plan will be to complete canto 9, and then the following year, we would begin the 10th canto, which would take probably another 4 years. So it's a slow study course. The reason it is slow is because if it speeds up, it means I have to spend a lot more time on the course. And because I'm very busy running the farm and doing other services, I can't spend more time. So I just do it at a slow pace. And also the students find it easier if it goes at a slow pace. If it goes too fast, like in the other Bhakti Vaibhav course, Gangeshwara Prabhu, he was moving at a very fast pace, but the students found it a little overwhelming. So we're doing it very slowly. We're relishing it. We're digesting it. And our plan is to finish it. But if we keep going at the current rate, that will be another 9 years. Like that, so please stay around. Like that. Buy houses in Albert Park. Well, thank you for joining us.
We'll finish the punctuality very soon. You won't be laughing,
man. I did.
Okay, so this study material which you have, it's very helpful for studying the Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. So you can use this in your own study. You can bring it to classes if you like, and you'll need to bring your Bhagavad Gita to the class, the 8th canto. So try and keep up with the reading. We'll be covering, you know, next week when we begin the actual 8th canto. First class, we'll cover about 10 verses. We cover about 10, 15 verses on average per night. Sometimes we go a little faster, 20 verses maybe, about that. So try to keep up with the reading as much as you can. Don't just rely on me to do it all. Usually what happens is I do all the reading, and then I take notes, I speak, and then you all write down what I say. That's the system. But try, if you can. Now, why don't we have enough time to read? Hands up if you read Prabhupada's books every day. One, two people. Three people out of 18 or 19 read Prabhupada's books. It's very difficult. I don't read Prabhupada's books every day. I listen to lectures every day. I don't read Prabhupada's books every day. It's difficult. We don't have time. But Srila Prabhupada, he would say, then if you're having difficulty reading my books, then eat less and sleep less. So you have enough time to eat, you have enough time to sleep, then you have enough time for Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said it requires practice. By the time Prabhupada came to the West, At night time he was sleeping about 2 hours every evening. And during the day he would have massage and rest. So if you total Prabhupada's rest time in 24 hours, between 3 and 4 hours was rest out of 24. Right? But Prabhupada said, he said that requires practice. Wasn't the Prabhupada just automatically got to that level, even though in one sense, well, he is a Paramahamsa Vaishnava. But still, okay, very consistent, Lila Mai. You'll get extra marks for being consistent.
Your husband.
Huh? How everyone got held up by the rain. Very difficult to come on time when it's raining heavily. It's a good excuse. Your husband has a book for you. So, it requires practice. And Prabhupada, he reduced those things as his life went on. Prabhupada didn't just immediately practice those things, but he reduced it, and he practiced. So he said that it requires practice. We have to reduce our eating, we have to reduce our sleeping, our mating, our defending, and we should absorb ourselves extra time we have for reading Prabhupada's books. So there is no excuse. Just because the quality of Kali Yuga is that people are lazy. So because they are lazy, it takes time. Like that. But we have to practice. Like that. Okay. So, we can turn the page. What is Shastric
study?
Janeshwar Prabhu. What is Shastric study? Please tell us.
By the term Shastric study, we refer to the study of the Vedic scripture, Shastra, and specifically the books of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The importance of Srila Prabhupada's books is encapsulated in the following excerpts from ISKCON now. Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, definition. To fulfill the previous Acharya's desire for a united worldwide preaching organization to expand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, Srila Prabhupada founded the International Society for Krishna Consciousness as a distinct branch of the Brahma Madhva Kuriya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Therefore, he is the founder Acharya ISKCON. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. This means that he is ISKCON's link with the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, that his writings, oral teachings, and exemplary actions remain the permanent and irreplaceable basis for all subsequent teachings of ISKCON. He is and will remain always the instructing spiritual master of all devotees in ISKCON. Glory Vision Committee 9.6.90.
Finish it.
Principles. 1. Srila Prabhupada is the foundational Shiksha Guru for all ISKCON devotees because he has realized and presented the teachings of the previous acharyas of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya appropriately for the modern age. 2. Srila Prabhupada's instructions are the essential teachings for every ISKCON devotee. 3. Srila Prabhupada's books are the embodiment of his teachings and should be accepted as the standard by all future generations.
Very good. So, as it is saying here, Srila Prabhupada said himself that his books would be the law books for humanity for the next 10,000 years. So Prabhupada's books are certainly in our lives, we recognize them as the most important books. We base our spiritual life upon Prabhupada's teachings. So even though there are other books which are available, Prabhupada's books should be our main reading material and study material. Just like at the moment I'm reading Nava Vrindavan Mahima by Shivaram Swami. It's a compilation of Krishna's pastimes from various different books. So I'm reading that, but still my main reading material, my main study material is the 8th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. Because Prabhupada's books are our main books. So Prabhupada didn't say you have to read only his books. Actually, if you go to the very first purport, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, Prabhupada says in the purport, the very first verse, he said we should study the books of all the previous acharyas. So every book which is written by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Baladeva Vijayabhushana, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, all the books we can read and we should read, but Prabhupada's books are our main books. That is our emphasis. So we should study very carefully his books, particularly the 8th canto, because that's what we're concentrating on this year. Okay. I'm not making references. Is that what there's a book. Sorry. You have to find the book if you want. I'm not using those books. That's why I'm not. I'm using Prabhupada's purports, and Banaswami has done a translation of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So I'm using those two as the material. But these are interesting also. If you have them, then you can use them. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, his commentary. Banaswami has done translation. Okay. So it's available now. So if you have it, you can use that also. Okay. So the next page. Ananda Balabhapur.
The four Shastric degrees. Srila Prabhupada himself presented an outline for the study of scripture as demonstrated by the following excerpt from one of his letters. Bombay, 10th January 1976. My dear Swarup Damodara, please accept my blessing. I beg to thank you for your letter dated December 26, 1975, and I have noted the contents carefully. You are planning to have the Bhaktivedanta Samman Institute in one of our homes is a very good idea. Brahmana means Pandita. Therefore, I am suggesting examinations, Bhakti Shastri, for all Brahmana based on Bhagavad Gita, Sri Ishwapanishad, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, and all the small paper bags. Bhakti Vaibhava, the above plus six cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, six cantos of SD Bhaktivedanta, the above plus cantos 7-12, SB Bhakti Swarmabhauma, the above plus Chaitanya Charitamrita. These titles can correspond to entrance BA, MA, PhD. So just consider how to organize this institute. At Mayapur, we shall finalize everything. Hoping this meets you well. Your well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. There are several other references Srila Prabhupada made to these degrees with some variations. For this and other reasons, ISKCON devotees will hold different opinions as to what should be the exact nature of the four courses. The VT respects the fact that other devotees may hold different views. It intends and hopes that this course will be recognized by the ISKCON Ministry of Education. It also hopes that other devotee educational institutes write their own ISKCON approved courses. The broad framework for the four degrees, largely based on this letter, is shown on the next page.
So, Srila Prabhupada, it was his instruction that we have courses, we have examinations, we have all of these institutions for education in ISKCON. Now, in Melbourne, we have developed this Melbourne Institute for Higher Education, and we have close to 100 students currently studying Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta. So this was Prabhupada's desire, that we study his books systematically. We should get all the degrees, and we should get the degrees systematically also. Srila Prabhupada wanted that we have examinations. So examinations are an important part of our course. So the course will have 3 examinations, as you know, this year. There's 24 chapters in Canto 8. Purport's a little less in Canto 8 than previous cantos. Purport's begin to get smaller. So we'll be doing 8 chapters, then exam, oral book, oral present. What is that noise coming from? Is it outside the window?
Yeah.
If it's outside, we can't do anything. Okay. So we are doing oral presentations. We are doing closed book examinations, 3 of each, and open book presentations, essays. So 3 of each during the year. So for the oral presentations, you'll need to make the presentations to Ananda Balabha Prabhu, Chandra Balabhi Mataji. Muralidhar Prabhu said he will still be a examiner. And if you're very enthusiastic, you fly to Mayapur and you can see a seat of Raja Prabhu. And he can also examine you. He has permission. But he is about MIA. He's overseas now. So these 3, you can approach them and they will assess your oral presentations. I will mark the open book exams and the closed book exams. So this will be the system. Now, Prabhupada, anyone can take this course. Now we're in the 8th canto. This is nearly our 11th year of studying. Since we started Bhakti Shastri, many of the devotees have been here since the very beginning. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, now we're in Bhakti Vedanta. Anyone can attend this, but everyone must get the qualifications sequentially. It means that you must get the Bhakti Shastri, then the Bhakti Vaibhava, then the Bhakti Vedanta. That's the only way. You can't get the Bhakti Vedanta certificate until you've done the other 2. Okay. Hands up if you have Bhakti Shastri. Okay, so about half the devotees have it. So those who don't have it, you have to get it. So I'm speaking to Aniruddha Prabhu at the moment. We'll start another Bhakti Shastri course this year. There's one currently running. Jagannath Ram Prabhu is doing one. Right. So if you're doing that one, finish it, get your degree. Then we'll start another Bhakti Shastri course. Gangeshwara Prabhu is teaching Bhakti Vaibhava, but I think he's in about the 4th canto now. It's probably about halfway through. So in due course of time, we'll have to study and start another Bhakti Vaibhava course also. So you have to get it secretly. You can also do it online. V-I-H-E, I think M-I-H-E, Radhadesh, and I think there are several other places. You can also do it online, overseas, correspondence course like that. So it is up to you to get. Now, in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada has said, before one takes Brahman initiation, he must have Bhakti Shastri degree. Hands up if you have Brahman initiation and Bhakti Shastri degree. Okay. Hands up if you have Brahman initiation and no Bhakti Shastri degree. Okay, so you have to get it. You're working on it? You are. You have Brahman? You have second?
No.
And then you'll get second. Okay. And you have to work on it. Yeah, you initiated when you're young, so you're a special case. Special qualification. Like that. So Bhakti Shastri, Prabhupada said, and in Europe, recently, the Zonal Council in Europe, all the leaders in Europe, they passed a resolution in the last few months that every devotee in Europe, ISKCON devotee, before they take Brahman initiation, the law is they must have Bhakti Shastri before they begin Brahman. And that will be passed in Australia. It will be passed. In the next few years, they'll probably pass it. Because we're already talking about these things. So the leaders are realizing this was Prabhupada's instruction. So you have to do it. So study. Okay. Get your degrees. Like that. And do them properly. You can come to this class, no problem. But somehow you have to work out how to get Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhava. You can't just jump all the way to Bhakti Vedanta. Doesn't work. Nice try, but you can't just jump to the 10th canto. You have to go through everything systematically. So, any points? Is it? Who is your Guru Maharaj? Does he insist on that?
He was not.
Okay.
He expects it.
Yeah. It will come in due course of time. Atul Krishna Prabhu, my dear friend, he's coming here in March and he's doing a disciples course. So you'll see in due course of time this will become mandatory in ISKCON, compulsory. Before you get initiated, you have to do disciples course. That will be there. I think it's already a law in ISKCON, but these things have to be put into place. So before you take initiation, you have to do disciples course. Before you do second initiation, you have to do Bhakti Shastri. So these things will gradually become standard in ISKCON. Any other points? Atul Krishna Prabhu is coming in March, so take the course. Yes. I have to take the course also. I also have to, when he comes, he wants devotees to take the course so that then we can teach it more to more and more devotees. So I actually don't know what's in it. I mean, I know some things, but... Yeah, so that will happen soon because he will come here soon. Also, they developed a guru course. If someone becomes a guru, they have to take the guru course, a leadership course. So there's different courses being developed in ISKCON, which everyone will be required to take. If you're going to become a guru, or if you're a temple president, or even if you're like a bhakti bhiksha leader, you have to take these courses, guru course, all these different courses. So all these things will come in due course of time. So anyway, what was that?
Last year, when we finished the previous three webinars, many of the devotees, they used the partial certificates. For example, we started from 4 to 69. So, for new procurement, should we do full or is it only 130?
You just have to get the rest of it. If you only have canto 4, then you have to get the other 5 cantos. If you only have 4, 5, and 6, you have to get 1, 2, 3. You work out how to do it. Probably best thing is you do it on correspondence or something. Okay. So, next page. Overall purpose of Shastric study. Mahaprabhu, would you like to read that? What? We just read page 8, right?
Overview.
Yeah, it says 8 there. That's 8.
Thanks.
Next one, yeah.
We have already heard on the clarity of Katha and 3 other principles expressing the broad aims of the Krishna conscious education. Pages 14 to 15. In following these principles, the VTE has developed an aims-driven approach towards education. Srila Prabhupada, if you have no goal, it is simply useless. There is an example. A man without any purpose is like a ship without a rudder. An airplane normally goes with an aim to land in some country. But if it flies on without any known destination, then there will be disaster. So without an aim, what is the use of practice? The following is the VTE's overarching purpose in promoting the systematic study of Srila Prabhupada books. The overall purpose of systematic Shastri study, to nurture the evolution of a dynamical Krishna consciousness leadership. whose members are expert in study and assimilation of Shastic knowledge and are proficient in its application in their own lives, in helping others, and in perpetuating the mission of Srila Prabhupada. The educational aims to be fulfilled through the teaching process are listed on the next page. You may wish to compare them with the overall purpose of the teaching process.
Okay, very good. So, Prabhupada said, what is the point of beginning a journey if you do not know what the destination is? So we should understand what is the purpose of our Shastric study. There is a purpose. What is the ultimate purpose of our Shastric study? It is to develop love for Krishna. That is the goal. So there is, we are learning about Sambandha, Jnana, Abhideya, Jnana, and Prayojana, Jnana. So Lord Chaitanya has taught us, based upon the Bhagavatam, all of Lord Chaitanya's teachings are based upon Srimad Bhagavatam. And he has said, Krishna, Sambandha. I think there's someone at the door. The one on the right. Yeah. Very good. Please come. You realize you're late? Don't even use the normal door. So, Krishna Sambandha. Sambandha Gyan means knowledge of Krishna. How Krishna relates to his material energy. So a great deal of the Bhagavatam is teaching us how Krishna is related to the Parapragriti, the spiritual energy, the Aparaprakriti, the material energy, the Tatashtya Shakti, the living entities. So how Krishna is related to everything in the creation. So a great deal of the Bhagavatam is speaking about Sambandha. Then there is Bhakti Abhideya. Abhideya means the process of how to reach Krishna, which Lord Chaitanya says is bhakti. Right? Ahoituki apratihata. It is devotion which is unmotivated and uninterrupted. That is how we realize Krishna. So that is the process the Bhagavatam is teaching us. And then finally, the ultimate goal is prema, prayojana. The prayojana, or the goal of Krishna consciousness, is to develop love for Krishna. And you'll see, what is the first pastime in Canto 8? Yeah, Gajendra. Now, so we see how Gajendra has prema, or love for Krishna. And then Lord Narayan himself descends and saves him. So all of this is leading to the 10th canto, where we see the highest expression of prema. And Lord Chaitanya said, of all the prema which is manifested within creation, the love of the residents of Vrindavan, or the Vrindavan prema, is the highest of all. And of all the lovers of Krishna in Vrindavan, then the gopis, love is supreme. And amongst all the gopis, then Srimati Radhika is supreme. So this is the ultimate conclusion or purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to know where we're going. That is the point of our systematic study. We should be developing love for Krishna, which means we should be gradually heading towards that love. By studying the Bhagavatam, right, our anattas, because we are all on the platform of anatta nivritti. So all of our anattas should gradually be becoming less. Right? If your material desires are increasing, just like little boys who play on the floor, they make too much noise. This is not in the Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavatam we hear about Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, who were very good little boys. So, we hear about the ultimate goal of Krishna. Now we should see that we're studying Bhagavatam, our material desires should be becoming less. If your material desires are increasing, then what are you doing? That means you're not studying properly. You might be passing all the exams, right? You might get B+ on all of your exams, right? But if your material desires are not decreasing, then what is the point of your study? That is the point of our study. To decrease our material desires, to increase our attachment to Krishna. Right? Krishna asakti, or attachment to Krishna. So this should be coming. Otherwise, what's the point? Why should we study? So you must understand. Prabhupada says, what is your aim? A ship without a rudder is useless. You just come to the temple, or you come to the Mary Kay Hall, community hall, and you study Srimad Bhagavatam, but if you're not going towards Krishna, you're not developing Krishna consciousness, then what is the point of everything? Otherwise, you're just following along, but you're just drifting. So you have to make a concerted effort to get to Krishna. Now, Srila Prabhupada says, the overall purpose of Shastric study, our mission statement for this course, is to nurture the evolution of Brahminical Krishna conscious leadership. So Prabhupada said, ISKCON should become a society of Brahmanas. Devotees should be Brahmanas. What is one of the qualifications of a Brahmana? Krishna says, Samo, Damas, Tapas, or Cham. Aja, he says, Jnana Vijnana. Yeah, you must become learned. Okay, this is the quality of the Brahmanas. We should know the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, just like the lawyers know the books. If you become learned, people will listen to you. If you become learned, you will be able to convince others about Krishna consciousness. If you don't become learned, no one will become attracted. You cannot convince people, especially in this day and age. Very hard to make people interested in Krishna consciousness. So you have to become very learned, scholarly. A Brahmana is a scholar, he's a pundit. He has great knowledge. So we need to become learned. Why? So that our preaching becomes effective, and so that we can also advance in Krishna consciousness. Any points? So, normally we have a whiteboard, but there's no whiteboard. I think the other group has it, so I'll just read through the class norms. Class norms mean the things that we will agree to follow this year while we're studying. So I'll read them one by one. All members of the group are equal. Hands up if you are happy with that. Everyone is equal. So what it means is that if someone is making a contribution, you should respect it and you should listen to it. Right? Do not talk when someone in the class is talking. Right? If I'm talking, none of you should be talking. And if someone else is making a point, none of us should be speaking. So we should respect everyone within the course. Is everyone happy with that? Number two. All contributions are valid and valued regardless of whether one agrees with them or not. So sometimes, Prabhupada says, the acharyas, they may look at a jewel or a crystal or a diamond. Just like if you go into the temple room and there are chandeliers, then in the crystal, if I'm on one side of the room, I may see green in the crystal. You're on the other side of the room, you will see red. So then we can argue all day. You say it is red, I say it is green. But the acharyas say you're just looking at a different angle of vision. Both are correct. So sometimes devotees have different angles in Krishna consciousness. So we cannot criticize another devotee's opinion. But the opinion must be backed up by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. You can't just make any opinion. And we say, well, it says here that we have to agree with everything. So you make your opinion, everyone says, oh, that's very nice. No, it must be authorized by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Just like my spiritual master, he once told us that he joined the movement in 1968. So the second day he was in the temple, they asked him to give Bhagavatam class. And he said, what should I say? And they say, say whatever you want. But that's not going to help very much. You just say whatever you want. You have to base it upon Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But as long as it's based on Guru and Sadhu, then we will accept. Everyone has different ways of explaining things, or different angles of vision. Is everyone happy with that? Number three. We will accept full responsibility for success in achieving the desired outcome. So everyone in this room has responsibility for this course. If I start preaching something in this course, which is not bona fide, it is your responsibility to pull me up. If I start preaching my bad philosophy, right, then you have to do something. If I start preaching Ritvik philosophy, then it is your responsibility. You cannot say, well, I'm a junior devotee, I cannot say anything. Right? And if the devotee keeps doing it, and even you've approached them and they keep doing it, then you have to go to the temple authorities and say there's something wrong. So all of us have to take responsibility. Right? If I hear something wrong in this course, if someone says something, I'll say, where did you get that from? Right. And if I say something wrong, you also have to... Is everyone happy with that? We will confront issues or behaviors, not people. So we do not have problem with any of the devotees. If the devotee says something which is speculative, mental space, then we will say, Prabhu, what are you saying? Where is this from? But we will not condemn the devotee. Right? One of the class norms in this class is that all the devotees have to get along. Sometimes over the last 10 years, there's been friction between devotees outside the classroom. Right? I don't accept it. Right? If you want to be in this class, you all have to get along. You have to be good friends. Sometimes when I hear there's problems, I call the devotees. I hear this one and this one, they're not speaking, I say, okay, come. Right? And we'll work this out. We're not going to have this. In the outside world, you can do what you want. Right? In Telstra, you can do whatever you want. Right? Outside of this course, you can do whatever you want. But inside this course, there's no nonsense. This is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means?
No anxiety.
No anxiety, no conflict. If you have a problem, right, we will speak about it. And interesting, because I think it was Gurudas, one of Prabhupada's very early disciples, I think it was Gurudas, one of them, he said that if Prabhupada heard in the early days there was a problem between two devotees, immediately he would call the two devotees and say, what is the problem? And work it out on the spot. Not that it goes on for 5 years, and after 5 years you can't even remember what the problem was. But you just don't, I don't speak to that devotee. Someone says, no, I don't speak to them. Why don't you speak to them? I can't remember. I just don't speak to them. What is that? Do you have a problem? Work it out today. Is everyone okay with that? We will agree to honor any agreement reached. That means anything we are speaking tonight, these are the class norms. We all agree on it. That means you have to do it. Hands up if you agree with that. Everyone's happy? Okay. Now the next one, this one's very interesting. We will be punctual. Right? Lila Maya thinks that's a great joke. Why is that so funny? You didn't laugh at any of the other five, but this one you didn't find very funny. Right? But we just said in the previous one, we will agree to honor any agreement reached. The next one says we will be punctual. Hands up if you would be punctual. Right? Will you be punctual? It says you agree. Hands up. Will you be punctual? Hands up. I have 100%. Right? So this class starts at 7:30. 7:30, this class starts. I'll give you just 7:40 because I know everyone's very busy and I know everyone is making a great sacrifice to come to this. It's not easy to come Monday and Tuesday nights or even one of the nights. I know, it's not easy. So we'll give 10 minutes leeway. But when people walk in at 3 minutes past 8, Lila Mai, it is not acceptable. All right? So I'm just saying, right? And you are saying in front of... Right? You are saying... Lord Balaram, the Mridanga, Lord Balaram. You are saying in front of the Vaishnava, Shukadeva Prabhu has said, he is our senior Vaishnava, he is here. Right? You are agreeing to this. Right? So please be punctual. Yeah, I understand. A little bit's okay. But this is not India. Right? This is ISKCON. People say also, they say ISKCON time. Right, who's the founder of Acharya? Prabhupada. Was he ever late? You read in the Lilamrita. Show me in the Lilamrita where it says he was late. Right? Everyone says NISKCON, oh, ISKCON time. Now, you show me where Prabhupada was late. Who's the founder of Acharya? Right? Is Leela Maya the founder of Acharya? Right? If Leela Maya is the founder of Acharya, ISKCON would never have begun. Right? We would never have got on the boat, the Jaladuta. We'd be still standing in the port in Calcutta. We would have gone and taken rest again in Mayapur. Yeah, you would never have got on the boat. ISKCON would never have started. Why did ISKCON start? Because Prabhupada was on the boat. You show me Lilamrita. You show me where he was late once. You show me. Show it to me. You show me where the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth, you show me where she's ever been late once. Why is she never late? Because she's a cultured person. Right? She comes on time. Right? And Srila Prabhupada was always on time. Right? Now in ISKCON there's this whole thing that devotees can walk in at 8:32 and someone can walk in. Right? Completely bogus. Right? This is not the system. Okay? The system is punctuality. Okay. I think we understand the point. This will be on your exam. Okay. So, some practical arrangements. The schedule will be 7:30 to 9 o'clock on Monday and Tuesday. Like that. I think we have the hall book from 7 to 9. So, next month or so, next 1 or 2 months, it's going to be in this building, I think, the class, until this theatre is ready again in the temple. So you just come over here. We'll be in this room, or we may be in one of the other rooms. Just walk down until you see some Hare Krishnas, then you can walk in. Or if you like to do Buddhism, please join them. But if you want to come to this course, it's around about 7:30, we'll be starting like that. But we can come a little earlier if we want, if you want to help set up and do like that. Okay. You will need your pens, you will need your books for taking notes. There are tables. So if you need the tables, you can set the tables up so you can take your notes and use everything properly. The fees are $5 a week or $10 a week, as you like, per person. Although while we're in this hall, it might be handy if people give maybe $10 a week, because we have to pay for the hire of the hall. Over in the temple, there's no charge to use the hall. But here we have to pay. If the devotees can pay weekly, that would also be handy, because we have to pay these people who we're hiring the hall off also. So up to you, whatever you want to give, but you have to give your fees, and please give them regularly. It will help us maintain the course. What is that?
Who's collecting
the fees? Me. Yeah, totally. The requirement, if you want to sit the exam, you must come to at least 50% of the classes. If you don't come to 50% of the classes, you cannot sit the exam. So don't come for the exam, because sometimes devotees come for the exam. Don't come for the exam unless you're here 50% of the time. The actual course requirement is 70%. That's the actual course requirement. But I'm saying 50% because I know it's difficult. I know that it's sometimes hard for the devotees. But the actual requirement, according to the Board of Examination, the ISKCON authority, is 70%. But at least 50% you have to be here, if you want to do the exam. On the website, the classes, Chaitanya Prabhu is recording the classes every week. They will go onto the website usually the next day. That's usually the standard, isn't it?
Within 1 week. Within a couple of days.
Within a couple of days. So within a couple of days, the classes will be on the Bhaktivedanta section of the Melbourne website. So if you miss classes, if you want to listen, you can just listen. Any questions?
I can't find the website.
Where is it?
Now there's a link from our website itself, the temple website.
Okay.
So if you go into the education menu, and then there's Get Vedanta. So if you want, you can go to our website.
Find that site. If you can't find it, just ask the devotees. I can't hear.
I was looking for past exam question paper, and some of the question papers I couldn't find.
So you have to speak. You have to speak to us after the class. You have to write down which ones you're missing.
Yeah.
I have hard copies of pretty much all of them.
So if you have all of them, you could give me hard copies.
But I don't know which one you want.
No, I just after.
You have to write down. You have to write down list. Which one, and then I can get it. Anything else? Okay. So now, this course is a VTE course, Vaishnav Training and Education. That is a branch of ISKCON. VTE is a part of ISKCON. It was begun by one Prabhupada disciple. His name is Rasamandala Prabhu. He is from England. I trained under him 1996 and 2000, I think it was. I took courses with him, and he trained us how to teach. So he is developing these teaching courses. Now, his teaching courses have two components which are very important. One is called participatory learning, which means you can participate. You don't just have to listen to the facilitator speak, and then at the end you can ask questions, but the way we run the course, you can ask questions all the way through. Right? Not like Bhagavatam class. The Bhagavatam class means the speaker speaks, at the end you have some question time. Here, it is interactive. So you can ask questions anytime you want. Anything you don't understand, just ask and then we will facilitate. Secondly, it is called aims-driven teaching. So we have aims that we're trying to achieve in our course. As Prabhupada said on the previous page, a ship without a rudder is useless. So we must know what we're aiming for. Now there are 12 aims in Shastric study. What is the first? You've been doing this course for many years. You should know them. What are the 12? Knowledge, understanding, personal application, preaching application, faith and conviction, authority is next one. Theological application, evaluation, mood and mission, academic and moral integrity, responsibility for learning, right, and Shastra Chakshu. These are the 12. You should know these 12. Especially if you've been doing this course for 10 years. You should know. So what we are doing while we're studying is that we are trying to facilitate these aims. Now the first one is knowledge. Now knowledge means retention of facts. Right? Means shlokas. Just like on all your exams, you have to memorize 3-4 shlokas. Now, remind me, next week I'll give you your key memory verses for this section. You'll have 4 verses that you have to memorize for these 8 chapters. In the 8th canto, there are not so many key memory verses which are given. So I will give you some from the 8th canto, but some may be from previous canto 7, or some may be from Brahma Samhita, like that. We'll give you different verses. Or if anyone has any verses they think would be good for memorization, you give them to me and then I'll consider them. So, now that is knowledge. Knowledge means remembering facts. Just like there are 12 Mahajanas. Right? Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Kapila, Kumara, Manu, like that, the 12 Mahajanas. So, this is knowledge. So part of our course is that you will remember shlokas, you remember knowledge. One of the problems with the modern educational system is that it is very much knowledge-based, which means that the people who are the toppers or the highest, basically they just have the most memory. They just remember all the facts. They go into the exams, they write down as much, they remember the most, they get the best marks. That doesn't make you the best student. It doesn't mean you have moral integrity. It doesn't mean you're a good person. It just means you remember a lot. So that is part of our course, but it's not the only part of our course. Not that whoever has the most remembers the most shlokas is the most advanced devotee. Just like, who knows the most shlokas here? Huh? Chandu Wallaby. Huh? Does this mean she's the most advanced devotee? In this case, it does. But not normally. Normally, it doesn't mean the devotee has the most shlokas is the most advanced. In this case, okay, she is the most advanced. But normally it is not directly a correlation. Just because you know all the slogans doesn't mean you're the most advanced devotee. So knowledge is a part of our learning. Second is understanding. What does understanding mean? Understanding means I can explain it to others. What's the point? You come to the course, right? You can study all the knowledge, but then you have to explain it to someone else. After the class, someone says, what was in the class today? Now you have to explain. Prabhupada said, explain the philosophy in your own words. So, sometimes, especially on the exams I see, devotees, they repeat like a parrot. Right? Jagannath Mahaprabhu makes notes, right? And then five or six devotees in the exam, they all say exactly the same thing, because they all study on the weekend, right? They memorize all the notes, right? And then I have Janeshwar Prabhu, Prema Dharangini, right? Jamuna Lila, right? Whoever's in that study group, and all the answers are the same. Some of them almost word for word, because everyone just gets in there Saturday and Sunday, memorizes the whole thing, and then that's what's the point of that? Prabhupada said, in your words. I don't want to hear someone else's words. Right? So you have to remember it and you have to repeat it and explain it your own way. Otherwise you don't get good marks. Don't think just because you wrote down all of someone else's notes you get good marks. Because right? As soon as I mark the first one, I get good marks. The second one, I think this is exactly the same, automatically your mark just went down. So it means you're not learning. You have to do it in your own words. Understanding. Next is personal application. Right? Sometimes in the exams we say, how would you apply this to your life? So you have to give examples. How will I apply this to my life? What I'm learning now, how does this apply to me? How will I make positive changes? Right? I will start getting up earlier to chant my japa. I will chant all of my rounds, just like there's one sannyasi in ISKCON, Bhakti Siddhanta Swami. He was here for Snan Yatra with Jayapataka Swami. So his vow, he doesn't eat every day until all his rounds are finished. He's been doing that for 30 years. That's his vow. Every day. He won't eat until he's finished chanting his rounds. I've known him for 20 years. That's how he is.
Right. When it comes between an option between reading Bhagavatam and deity worship, so is it possible that one day we can skip the deity worship and read Bhagavatam?
It means that you have to establish a standard of deity worship in the home that you can maintain. That's the point. So
if I do elaborate deity worship, my problem always is that.
So maybe you should discuss with some senior devotees and make the deity worship more simple. Generally in the home, deity worship should not be too elaborate because devotees cannot maintain it. Temple worship is elaborate, but home worship should be more simple. Otherwise you cannot maintain it, and then you'll begin to commit offences to the deities. One day you do this, one day you do this. So better you have more simple. Okay, so personal application means how do I apply it in my life? Preaching application means a Mayavadi says to you, how do you respond? So we want to hear you preach. We don't want to hear you just write the notes from some other person. Or when you're doing the exam, you're looking at the next person. What did they say like that? Sometimes I see devotees, not really, but you know, sometimes devotees may be looking somewhere, but what do you say? How do you respond to this person? Right. Faith and conviction. Right? What is your faith in Krishna consciousness? Your faith should be developing. Krishna consciousness is nothing but a development of faith, from Shraddha to Prema. So we see, as you write the exam, some of the questions on faith and conviction. What is your faith? How do you believe in it? What does this mean to you? Right? Your faith should be increasing towards Krishna. Authority. Right? Developing our faith in our authorities. Right? Theological application. How do we present Krishna consciousness to the outside world? One thing I just noticed an hour ago when I came here to get set up, the Buddhists are just there in the next room. Right? I don't think they can hear us.
While coming to thinking, why did everybody to Bhakti Vedanta?
Yeah, but the one thing, what did I notice? What did all of you notice when you walked past the room? I noticed one thing very particularly. They had a piece of paper on the chair explaining what was going on. That's not what I noticed. But What did anyone notice any in particular?
They're very quiet and focused.
They're very quiet and focused. Not like this group.
I saw them money.
That's not what I noticed.
I saw them collecting money.
Huh?
Collecting money.
They're collecting money. Very good.
And collecting money and then go inside.
They get money first, then they go in. We'll start doing that next week. But that's not what I noticed either. What I noticed is that everyone in that room is white. And everyone in this room is idiot. Right? Except for me and Russell. Right? This means we are not yet attracting the Westerners to Krishna consciousness. And this was a great concern for Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Brahmananda Maharaj at the time in Africa. He said, don't preach to the Indians. Because that's easy. This is easy. Right? That's difficult. Why are they not in this room? Right? Theological application. We have to learn to present the philosophy that will attract them. You saw their little sign out on the street?
Meditation.
Mantra. Right? We've got to think how to attract the white people. Right? Otherwise, we'll just have Calcutta over there. Right? Probably that's what it is. Right? You work on Saturday or Sunday, you might as well just be in Calcutta. Right? It's not Albert Park. Right. Okay, it's Goloka Vrindavan, we understand that. But Prabhupada wanted us to learn the philosophy in such a way that we can attract the Western people. So that's what we have to think to do. Right. And Prabhupada said he was racking his brain to think how to attract the Western people to Krishna.
Why
don't you just go and knock on their door and ask them all to come in? Just go and knock. They say, Keshav said, please come. They said, we have the ultimate truth here.
Some techniques we need to use to.
And get $5 before they come in. Anyway, we're going to work out how to do it. That's one of the aims of Shastric study. One of the aims is Shastric study. What did you say? So Prabhupada said, this is one of our aims. Our aims is how to make it theological application. We know the theology, we know the philosophy, but how do we make it attractive or understandable to others? Particularly in the Western world, it's not easy. If it was easy, this room would be full of Western people. Okay. Right? Theological evaluation. Right? How do I evaluate between something? Right? This is good, this is bad. This is right, this is wrong in Krishna consciousness. You have to know both sides. Right? Mood and mission. Understanding Prabhupada's mood, understanding Prabhupada's mission. Right? If Prabhupada's mood and his mission was just to make Indian people into devotees, he wouldn't have left India. Why did he come to the West? Because he was looking for Western people. What is that? Yeah, because the first time his guru met him, he said, you're an intelligent young man, you speak English, go and preach in the West. Right? So we have to think how to do that. Prabhupada's mood, his mission. This is his mood, this is his mission. Right? But it's only one part. There's the other part we're missing at the moment. Right? Academic and moral integrity. Do you have moral integrity as a devotee? Did you park in the disabled car park out the front? I'm a devotee. I don't have to follow the rules. I can park wherever I want. I can go through the red lights. I can drive any way I want, whichever side of the road I want to drive on. So this is not moral integrity. The devotee has to follow all the rules properly. Then, realization. Realization means, are you realizing this? Or are you just repeating like a parrot? Sometimes when people write the exams, they just write the same thing every time. I read the exams, the same exam they wrote last time. Chant 16 rounds, follow the four rules. It's like, anyone can say that. What is your realization? Right? And Shastra Chakshus means, are you actually seeing through the eyes of Shastra? or are you seeing things on the material platform? So these are our 12 aims of Shastric study. This is aims-driven teaching.
Okay. So next week I will give you your K and B's. Does anyone else have any questions or comments on anything we have discussed?
Open book topics, yeah, next week. I forgive. Okay. For the first part of the Bhagavatam. Okay. So tomorrow night, the class will be in this room. Tomorrow night we'll do an overview of Canto 7, just to refresh our memory of where we're up to. And then next week, next Monday, in this building, maybe a different room, we will have Canto 8, Chapter 1 will begin. And this year our aim is to complete Chapter 8. Canto 8. Like that. There are 24 chapters, so about 8 chapters every section. Any other questions?
So sometimes it'll be here, sometimes in the other
building. It'll be in this building,
okay.
But sometimes they give us different rooms.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll be sharing with the Buddhists. No, it's okay because they practice silent meditation. So even if we're in the room, we can still teach Bhagavatam. But they may ask us to be a little quiet. Maybe re-emphasize it too much. It's not that preaching to Indian devotees is not preaching, right? It's first class preaching. But we are successful, particularly in our movement, particularly in this temple at this point in time. We are successful in that. We have enough Indian devotees, isn't it? Do we need more? Of course we need more. We need so many more, as many devotees as we can make. But at this point in time, it's greatly imbalanced. That's the point. Now, this class should not just be Indian devotees. Right? If you go into that next class, you go in there and you watch, they're all Western people. Right, so we're going to learn how to attract them to this, because at the moment they're attracted to Shunyavad philosophy. Okay, so someone should go in there now and preach to them, give them Bhagavat philosophy. Chandravala, we go and start preaching to them. Just grab the microphone and start telling them. Give them the whole Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada ki.
Yes.